This is The Green on Delaware Public Media, and I'm Tom Byrne. Last month's flooding in Texas killed over 130 people, with Kerr County seeing the most damage and deaths. In the aftermath of the flood, the response to the disaster came from far and near, and included University of Delaware doctoral student Julie Elliott as she studied the disaster response. This week, Delaware Public Media's Joey Irizarry sits down with Julie Elliott to discuss the scene in Texas right after the flooding and the recovery response, as well as what can be learned about improving flood response in the future.
How did the chance to go down to Texas after the flooding, how did that come up? And was it something that you just did on your own, or were you asked to go?
Sure. So I am from Texas originally. I'm born and raised in North Texas specifically. I was in Delaware for a few years while I was getting my PhD. I'm still working on that, of course. Specifically, I'm in the dissertation phase. And so when I wrote my dissertation proposal, I knew that I wanted to focus on Texas because I have a lot of connections in this area. I used to work as an emergency management practitioner in Texas. So it's just an accessible area to me to do my dissertation. And so I wrote it into the proposal that I would be focused on Texas. And I also wrote an additional provision into the proposal that if there were a disaster event that took place in the state of Texas, that I would potentially, depending on the context of the event, the various conditions surrounding the event, I would consider deploying for quick response field work. And quick response field work specifically is research that's designed to collect perishable data, essentially data that you wouldn't be able to collect if you were to wait longer after the event happened. Perhaps people's memories fade, posters that were hanging up are taken down and discarded, various damage that you would not see once it was cleaned up. So I wrote that into my proposal that I would potentially go down. And my research is specifically focused on how organizations collaborate, how they build networks, and how they maintain those networks before, during, and after disasters. So when this event occurred back on July 4th, immediately, of course, it was an event that happened in Texas, but even beyond that, I have family that lives about 40 minutes from Kerr County, Texas. And I determined that this would be a good event to go to because I would be able to stay with my family and not impose on the local jurisdiction. I wouldn't have to use local housing because I'd be able to just stay with my family and I would have my own personal vehicle. So there would also not be the burden of renting a car and using other resources from the community. Additionally, because my work is focused on how organizations collaborate and work together, it was very obvious, even in the hours after the initial flooding occurred, that there was going to be a lot of organizations responding to this event, and organizations not just from Texas, but from across the whole country, and you could even say across the world. There's been international groups that have responded as well. And so it immediately presented itself as a great opportunity to learn about collaboration and see how these groups work together. So immediately I got in touch with my faculty advisor at the University of Delaware, and we met to talk through the logistics of going down there. We talked through, some ethical considerations, things to keep in mind as I'm going into this community. And kind of once we had sorted that out and I felt equipped and ready to go, I deployed down there by myself. And during that time, I primarily did observation work. So it was data collection via observing, but also document collection and taking photos in places that it was appropriate to take photos. Again, primarily focused on how organizations were working together during this event.
When you arrived in Texas, were you essentially assigned an area that you can go, or were you able to kind of just go here, there, and anywhere on your own?
I was essentially able to go to wherever I essentially needed to go. The community at this stage, I went, the event happened, I believe, on a Friday, and I was down there on the following Thursday. So it had only been 6 days later. So the community was still reeling from this event. And it was very, very obvious that search and recovery operations were ongoing. There was evidence of that everywhere. And folks were very, very busy, which is primarily why I did observation work and not interviews, was I didn't want to impede or obstruct any of those operations that were ongoing. But because of that, I was essentially able to act as a fly on the wall in several places and just observe the activity happening there. And on that note, too, there were certain places that initially I had planned to go to observe. But as I learned more about the context of those areas, I decided it just wasn't ethically appropriate for me to go into those places. So there was often a decision made at a moment's notice where certainly no one was going to stop me from going into certain areas, but it just was not relevant to my research. And even if there was a level of relevance to my work, it just wasn't the appropriate time. And so I do have intent to go back a couple months down the road and see how things have changed as it moves into long-term recovery. And when I do that, I think there will be opportunity to go into some of those areas that I decided was not ready for a researcher to go into. So, and a lot of that data can be collected via interviews later on once the initial response has kind of calmed down a bit.
Can you go more into what you saw down there and what were the conditions like that everyone was facing?
Sure. So on my way down there, just driving there, I noticed there was still a lot of storms happening in and out of the area. There were certain days. One of the days I was there, it was actually my last day, they received flash flood warnings again. And so they had to halt the search operations because of that, because it just simply wasn't safe to be along the river. The trees in this part of Texas are enormous. This is a hill country, is some of the most beautiful area of Texas. And it just has these enormous towering trees. And at one point during the trip, I did go down to the river. I walked through a mobile home park that had been destroyed. And you see these trees either completely uprooted, or if the tree miraculously held on to the soil, it was bent at a 90-degree angle. And that was just sobering, shocking, just really, you can't really wrap your mind around the force and power that the water had. And of course, the mobile home park itself was there, really, it was hard to know that that's where you were because the damage was so severe in these areas. And on top of that, you know, Texas is known for being hot, and it was certainly very, very hot there. And the humidity on top of it was very rough on the responders there. And so there were lots of relief stations set up just for the responders to get food, to get water, to get hydrated and take a break. And I heard reports of folks encountering snakes and other dangerous debris. So there is a lot of additional hazards on top of just the flood itself.
Was this the first time you've responded or gone to a disaster site as part of a research, or have you done it before?
Yeah, so this was my first experience doing quick response field work directly related to research. I used to work as a practitioner here in North Texas, so I was involved in some response operations in response to the winter storm that we had back in 2021, the COVID-19 pandemic, of course, and then, you know, smaller incidences that happened in this area. And my initial foray into emergency management was volunteering in tornado impacted areas in high school. And so I had seen that kind of damage before, but this was my first exposure doing field work related to research. And this was certainly even though I've seen disaster debris, I've seen the damage that events can cause. This was another level of shocking beyond what I had seen before.
Is there anything else that really stood out to you as part of either your research or just a personal observation from this flooding aftermath in Texas?
Yeah, I think that this particular event has resonated with people across the entire country. And I think it has, in part, that might be given the media attention, but also I think that, you know, I have a 10-month-old son, and hearing some of these stories of parents who lost their children, it's just absolutely, heartbreaking. And I think that those stories that came out of this event have really impacted a lot of people more in a very, very deep, in a very personal way. And so with that in mind, when I was there, the levels of altruism and an outpouring of generosity that I saw were just really amazing. There were, I believe the final report is over 25 states aside from Texas responded to this event and offered their support via first responders or emergency managers. I think that it was amazing to see the manpower resources that were committed. There was definitely there's an overwhelming amount of donations that are coming into the area, which certainly causes, you know, there's coordination challenges that come with that. But what really stands out to me is just how moved people are by this event and how much they're willing to give. And I definitely witnessed just an incredible amount of collaboration between organizations working to address the needs. And I think that this recovery is, we think about it as cyclical, but it really should not be seen as a cycle. Recovery is a discrete point in time in which a community is changed permanently, in my opinion. And so from my perspective, I think this is going to be a very, very long road of discovering what is the new normal for Kerr County and the surrounding areas.
How does the flooding that we saw down in Texas help places like Delaware prepare for flooding issues like we saw in Wilmington a few years back along the Brandywine?
I think that there's a lot that can be learned from this event, you know, a lot of considerations to make. And I think that it's important to remember to not be complacent whenever you're thinking about hazard events. This is an area that gets flash flooding a lot, but this is obviously was unprecedented flash flooding. And you have to stay vigilant at all times, realizing that the unprecedented could happen at any time, and take measures now to prepare yourself, to prepare your family, but also to get involved in your community and look at ways that you can build resilience at the community level. Because we know that these faith-based groups, the community-based organizations that exist in the community are going to do a lot to lead the way if a disaster occurs. And so we need to be taking actions now to fortify those groups, to add, to give resources, to think through what's the plan and how will we be involved? How can we best work in that space? Being prepared is really, really critical. And I think just not being complacent is extremely important.
Thanks to University of Delaware doctoral student Julie Elliott and our Joey Irizarry for joining us on The Green this week. Up next, Arts Playlist, where we head to the Biggs Museum in Dover for more on an upcoming exhibition focused on HBCU marching bands. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.